Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. South African guitarist Derek Gripper often sounds like two or three guitarists playing at once. It's not that he's resorting to any sort of tape or looping effects. It's just that he's figured out how to arrange music for the West African kora, a harp with 21 strings, onto a six-string classical guitar. It requires imaginative arrangements and fleet fingers, both of which Derek Gripper has in abundance. Not that he has more fingers than the rest of us, just that they are nimble and precise, as you will now hear. With a live performance of a song called Tita, here's Derek Gripper, live on Soundcheck. That's a song called Tita, live performance here in the Soundcheck studio from the South African guitarist Derek Gripper, whose latest album is called Libraries on Fire, a collection of music from Mali that the South African guitarist has arranged. So, Derek, first of all, good to see you again.
Yeah, hi, John.
So, where is Tita from?
So, Tita, it's a very new thing. It's a very new piece I'm working on. It's a piece that's become traditional, I suppose, but the recording I first heard of it was Tumani Diabate's duet version called Salama, which I think I performed last time I was here for you. Very different.
Mm-hmm.
The wonderful thing about these pieces is that played by different people, they become new compositions. So I recently went back to one of the possible originals by Fanta Sako, a wonderful Malian female vocalist who recorded her only album in 1971.
Wow. So you heard first Tumani's version, which is played on the kora, the traditional lute harp, and then you worked your way back to this vocal version.
Exactly.
And the arrangement there is more geared towards the vocal version than the kora version?
Yeah, so I took the melody of her vocals, little bits of the guitar parts, and then have sort of been messing around with it. I changed the tuning from what I even usually use, so it's got those bass notes which are totally out of the style.
So it's a classical guitar, but you're using alternate tunings?
Yeah, Yeah. How I approached this music in the beginning was I had the recordings and I could pitch shift them up and down, and I had the guitar, I could tune it, and I could move the capo. So I had these three variables. Mm. It was a bit like looking at those 3D pictures, you know. You blur your eyes until suddenly it comes into focus, and that's
yeah,
kind of
hard. Yeah, but I can never get that to work.
The 3D pictures.
Yeah, I can never make those work.
Keep trying, John. Come on.
Yeah. So, I mean, your background is, I mean, it's a classical guitar. So did mm-hmm. you start by learning, you know, Fernando Sor and Bach arrangements and all that kind of stuff?
I did. I learned classical guitar in order to play in rock bands. I mean, I learned guitar. I was a violinist,
uh-huh.
and I started playing bass guitar when I was about 14, and I played in a lot of different bands and met an amazing classical guitarist who inspired me to play the instrument and encouraged me a lot. So somehow I found myself at university at the age of 18 studying classical guitar, and I kind of had a tricky time of it because I didn't like classical guitar music that much. It's not I didn't like it, but it wasn't my thing. You know?
Right.
So I was searching all the time in different ways. I went to India and I learned Sorkatu, the Indian rhythmic vocal system, went to South India. So, and then I heard this guy Tumani Diabate, you know, and he's what I thought were his two, the other two guys that played with him, you know, it turned not to exist, turned out not to exist.
Right.
And that was an inspiration where I realized a string instrument could do what I you know could and I heard Egbert Gismonti around the same time,
the great Brazilian guitarist and composer,
exactly,
and pianist,
and pianist. I mean, it's just not fair. But so the two of them were kind of polarities for me, and I was playing Bach as well. And then about 2011, I suddenly clicked and thought, hey, well, what happens if I pretend that Trumani's a composer and plays music as though they Bach? So that's how this whole thing started, and
yeah.
then learning how the language worked and then integrating that back into the other things I was doing. So, yeah.
Yourself with a chance to actually play with musicians from Mali.
Mm.
Saturday night, Zankel Hall at Carnegie.
Yeah.
You're sharing a stage with Trio de Cali, three master musicians on, you know, traditional instruments from Mali.
Luckily, no kora player. Sorry, I don't have to be. But I wouldn't mind, because we're talking about the kora, then I'd like to play maybe an older kora piece.
Okay.
I'm going to play Tutu Jara, which is a Ngoni piece that became a kora piece.
So the Ngoni is the lute.
Because the Ngoni is the lute. It has anything from 4 to 7 strings. This piece traveled from Ngoni to kora and then threw me back onto guitar. So we're kind of taking it back to, in a way, to its roots.
Yeah. It kind of doesn't sound like...
or just further away from the
yeah,
source.
Yeah, it might be just yet another step in the piece's evolution. You want to play it for us?
Yeah.
It's Tutu Jara, again, a work from Mali in West Africa, originally for this lute, this instrument known as the Ngoni, and then transferred to the kora, which is the 21-string harp, and then somehow alchemically made into a 6-string classical guitar piece, which Derek Ripper will now play for us live on Soundcheck. Thank you. Wow. That is Tutu Jara, a work from Mali, played by the South African guitarist Derek Ripper live here in the Soundcheck studio. Originally a piece for the traditional lute or ngoni, and then it became a kora piece. And Derek, the kora is the instrument now that we most associate with the griots, you know, with the traditional troubadours of West Africa. But really all of those instruments, you know, it was very much a... almost like a chamber music kind of thing, right? All of these instruments could play together, could back up singers.
Mm. Well, I think that was the original idea behind the formation of Trio de Cali, who you're going to hear on Saturday, because they're kind of a traditional griot ensemble, which is why they don't have a kora. It's kind of, it's an old form. It's a singer with the balafon, which is
The mallet percussion.
Mallet percussion, yeah. And an ngoni, right. Bass. A bass ngoni. So the kora is a much newer, it would be a much newer instrument. But
so Trio de Cali is their early music band.
Totally. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Malian early music. It's happening. And she and the singer Awa is obviously the daughter of one of great Malian singers, is Kassemadi Diabate.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, it is, I mean, traditionally, it is a family thing.
It's definitely a family affair. Yeah.
Your most recent record is called Libraries on Fire, mm-hmm. which, you know, sounds like an odd title, but really has a very beautiful and poignant image behind it. Explain that title.
Apparently, it's a very well-known phrase. The saying is, in Africa, when an old man dies, it's as though a great library is burning, and refers, obviously, to this idea of oral tradition residing in individuals. And I forget at this exact moment the poet who said it, and my apologies. But it's also interesting because of all the, you know, for example, I mean, just there's a South African connection to the example, the libraries in Timbuktu, because Thabo Mbeki, our previous president, started a program to build buildings and to preserve this, you know, African heritage. Yeah. And that was one of the very kind of, yeah, a very important kind of reach out, you know, program for a new South African government, which was trying to place itself in a kind of, you know, important role in a Pan-African context, you know.
Right.
And sadly, that is not a legacy. You know, when one president takes over from another, then often, as you may know, is often a problem. And unfortunately, we had exactly that problem where, you know, the legacy of Mbeki wasn't a priority for the current president. So that's a project that actually collapsed and didn't continue, which is very sad. So there's that connection as well. But the main thing was the idea of bringing together the music of three generations of kora players because the previous album, One Night on Earth, was mostly Tumani. And we think, a lot of people think of kora and you think, oh, that's kora playing, that's Tumani. But Tumani is such an individual kora player. It's like saying that Bach is Baroque, you know?
Right.
Like Bach is like Head and Shoulders in a different, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wanted to show...
Also in that he is known here in the West from playing with people like Björk and, you know,
exactly.
a whole plethora of others.
Mm.
Funny to see how that sound has, which was once unknown here, has become at least somewhat more familiar, and basically because of Tumani Djabadi.
Totally.
But of course, he grew up listening to Western music. The first time he was here in our studio when he was a young man in 19, I think it was 86, he told us that he grew up listening to Michael Jackson.
Totally. His favorite band is the Scorpions.
Or is it really? You didn't mention that.
Well, I shouldn't tell it. But exactly. And I mean, I think what's interesting about Tumani's music for me, and I speak as a musician, not as someone, you know, not as an ethnomusicologist in any respect, but if you listen, he developed an idea of a much longer line, you know, like almost jazz, you know, and partly like a singer. So that tradition does exist in singing, but to bring it into the instrument and to keep going with the accompaniment at the same time, you know, and to weave it all together. And that is what is a completely unique thing. So you could argue that what he does is already in the culture with the singer, but I think there's an element of cross-cultural pollination, you know, to see what an instrument can do.
Now, I don't want to give people the impression that taking kora music and putting it on guitar is all that you do, because, you know, there was a period of your life where you were not doing this.
It was impossible for me to do so. I couldn't do it. Yeah.
And so, you know, do you still play some of those pieces?
It's a piece called Copenhagen I'd like to play you, which is a piece I wrote in Copenhagen Airport because of its great acoustics. I don't know if you've been to Copenhagen Airport.
No.
It's fantastic. I mean, the concert halls of the world do not compare. It's marvelous, wonderful. And you have, you know, a fantastic audience. You don't have to worry about attendance.
And is this in also the same tuning as...
No, it's a completely different thing.
Oh, so you need to go... I'll let you do that. Derek Ripper is here with us in the Soundcheck studio performing live for us. On Saturday night, Derek is performing at Carnegie Hall in Zankel Hall on a program with Mali's Trio de Cali, performing some traditional music from the griot tradition of Mali. And, of course, Derek will be doing some of his solo classical guitar arrangements of the kora music of that West African nation. His most recent album is called Libraries on Fire, full of three generations of Malian music. But this is one of his own pieces, and it's called Copenhagen. That's music from Derek Ripper, and unlike the other pieces he's played for us on Soundcheck today, that one does not have its roots in Mali, but in an airport in Europe. Copenhagen. Do you say Copenhagen or Copenhagen?
I say Copenhagen, but they say Copenhagen.
Yeah, they say Copenhagen.
Yeah. Tomato.
And what was the how did the premiere performance of this go down there in the airport terminal?
It went down pretty well, actually. Yeah, it was good. You know, people generally, if you play guitar in an airport, they try not to make eye contact with you. Yeah.
Lest they be required to throw a few euros in the case or
exactly.
something.
Exactly. It's one way to be left alone. So,
so that's one of your pre-Malian works, but still continuing with this project of adapting the Kora music for the six-string guitar. Libraries on Fire, the most recent example of it. And, of course, the concert Saturday night at Zankel Hall with Trio De Cali. Derek, great to see you again. Thank you
nice
so much for coming
too,
in and performing for us.
Thanks for having me.
That'll do it for this edition of the Soundcheck podcast, but as always, there's much more to be found on our website. Lots of other live performances, video shot in the studio, our daily gig alerts, our weekly music roundups, and more. Check it out at soundcheck.org. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.